Blog Talk Radio.
I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Should I hang up and call back in? If you can hear me, I'm going to hang up and call back in.
Sister Mary, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Mine was on mute.
Oh. Oh, okay.
It never did open the mic. All right. All right. Thank you for pressing one. Let me know.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Because my mic is on mute. So, as I was introduced to all in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our master, our savior, our redeemer, the lover of our soul, and the rock of our faith. I pray that everybody has had a blessed Sabbath. And if you're listening on Pal Talk or on Blog Talk or on the internet, if you're on your phone, if you're driving down the road, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We are still in the Elohim of the Blood covenant. And as I said, we are reviewing this because the Most High said, a new covenant shall I give to the house of Jacob and to the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that I made with their father, but a covenant, I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart. All the people coming to the New Testament, they say they're up under the New Covenant. They say they're not up under the laws of the Most High that the law was done away with. Then what did he write into their heart, into their mind? To be disobedient? Did he write into their hearts that, you know, there's no longer any law? And he says in the Old Testament, I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, my commandments in your heart and in your mind. So the people are taking the scriptures in the New Testament, and they are corrupting them. They are teaching them from the standpoint that they never wanted to be up under a law, and they never wanted to obey. So if you don't give me a law, then there's nothing for me to obey. I just do my own thing and what feels right to me. But that's not what he said. Okay? That's not what he actually put out. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit should convict us to keep his statutes and laws and his commandments. How are you going to have the Holy Spirit from Ruach HaKodesh and is teaching you opposite of what he has already written, already what he has said? So we can't do that. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there's one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of God, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of God, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by God, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of God, and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear God and keep this command, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. They are the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads for the space to eat, friends for the east. Holy hands raised for the Most High Elohim. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually for all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins. You forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave. We are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that you will be here with us tonight, that it will be your word that we hear, that you will open the people's hearts and their minds. Yahweh. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. If they sin against them, they being angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee for their land, which thou gavest unto their father, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all that their transgression, wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of peace, from the midst of the furnace of iron. Thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou takest by the hand of Moses thy servant. Then thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Please ask you, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Hear, Elohim, and keep this commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Elohim shall bring every book into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the holy nations. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 to 28. Behold, I set before thee this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of God your Elohim that I command you this day, and a curse if you shall not obey the commandments of God your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. It is sure how much that expresses his name. Amen and amen. All right. The sounding of the shofar. Taking a lot of time for love to catch up.
Okay, for those of you that are listening, give me a hot second. I need to straighten out my hot spot that I'm working with.
still say yes?
I made up in my mind, I'll say,
My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there is more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. He said, seek my face. He says, seek my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen. 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 Now let's go to the book of Leviticus. We'll be in chapter 19. Doing a review of chapter 18 real quick that we went over this morning. And most I was talking about the types of relationships that we were not to engage in, that they were engaging in either in Egypt or in the surrounding lands. Most I said as they were doing these things, you know, sleeping with fathers, sleeping with mothers, sleeping with sisters, sleeping with uncle, aunt, that they were sleeping with beasts. They said, we're going to go to starting in verse 29, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 29. We're going to get the last two verses to sum it up, what he taught, what we discussed this morning. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinances, and you shall commit not any of the ones of these abominable customs, which were committed before you. And that you defile not yourselves therein. I am Yah, your Elohim. The people were already doing these things in those lands. And he says, for us not to commit any of these abominations, so that we should follow his judgment and his ordinances, his commandments, and not follow after the nation. That is what we are to do, obey his voice.
follow his ordinances, his commandments, because the world will tell you, depending upon where you are at, will tell you these things are okay. Okay to be gay. If they have a custom of sleeping with animals, it's okay to sleep with animals. It's, you know, we don't talk about it, but we do it. It's okay to sleep with your father and your mother or your sister. It don't matter. It's okay to sleep with a child. It don't matter. The customs of these nations. And when we start to live within their customs and within their ordinances and within their ways, and not the ways of the Most High. And not the ways of the Most High. Then we find ourselves getting into trouble. Leviticus chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, Yah, your Elohim, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah, your Elohim. So we hear in the scripture all the time where the Most High tells us to fear him. And he says to honor your mother and your father, but he says you shall fear your mother and your father. Okay? The children are to be taught that, to fear their mother and their father. Problem is we got people who are corrupt, we got people who are wicked, becoming parents, having children, doing things with their children they ought not do. And then we're in conflict because the word says to fear them when they themselves are wicked. And so, you know, we can't disobey the Most High Elohim. You have to have a fear of your mother and your father. Let us continue. Verse 3 again, you shall every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah, your Elohim. Turn you not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods, for Elohim, I am Yah, your Elohim. Turn you not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten Elohim. In other words, don't make no gods out of silver and gold or brass or anything like that or wood. But also, idols can be in your mind. You can make up God in your own mind. You can make up what God would do and what God would do, wouldn't do, told you, what he hasn't told you. You can make up your own Elohim in your own mind. That's an idol. He says, well, I don't want you making them up in your mind, and I don't want you making images of anything. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto Yah, you shall offer it of your own will. In other words, nobody should have to force you to come make peace with the Most High. You should want to make peace with him of your own will, of your own volition. Nobody should have to encourage you to go do it. You should want to do it. Verse 6, it shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the morrow, on the next day, if aught or anything remains until the third day, you shall burn it in fire. So you can eat on it that day that you offer it. The next day, you can eat on it, but the third day, you have to burn whatever's left in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. So you came to make peace with the Most High. You brought a peace offering. You had it sacrificed. You ate on it the first day. You ate on it the second day. There's a little bitty bit left on the third day, and you decided you would eat it. They said on the third day, you weren't supposed to be eating any of it. Anything left until the third day was supposed to be burnt in the fire. But you ate it. He says, now none of it is acceptable. Nothing you did on the first day is acceptable. Nothing you did on the second day, except your peace offering, is not accepted. Therefore, everyone that eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the holy thing of Yah. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. We know this word cut off means to be killed. You are no longer belong to him. And typically, you were to be killed. So here's your peace offering. Most High, I want to come and I want to be at peace with you. Here's my offer. And then you do that which he tells you not to do with it. Don't eat of it on the third day. If you have anything left on the third day, burn it up. But you decide to eat it anyway. Your peace offering is not acceptable, is an abomination to him now. And he says you are to be cut off. Verse 9. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shall thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. So that which falls on the ground, you know, you're harvesting. Number one, you're not supposed to harvest whatever's in the corners of the field. The corners of the field are supposed to be left to the poor, to the stranger. Then you're harvesting inside your field, and whatever falls on the ground, those are the gleanings. Just leave those, again, for the stranger, for the animal, for the poor. Don't glean those. Don't harvest those. Just let it, if it fell to the ground and made it to the ground, let it stay there. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, verse 10, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am Yah, your Elohim. So the Most High has always wanted to take care of the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger. Just don't glean everything out of your field. Don't glean everything out of your vineyard. Leave some on the vine. Leave whatever falls on the ground and leave some on the vine for the poor. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of Yah thy Elohim. I am Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. In other words, you hire somebody to do work for you. At the end of the day, you're supposed to pay them. You need to pay them. Don't hold on to it for whatever reason. And give me a hot second. I need to either turn on this AC or open up this window. Okay. So don't defraud your neighbor. Don't swear by the name of the Most High falsely. You know, don't say, I swear by Yah that I didn't do it when you know you did it. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. A day's labor for a day's worth wages. You pay them, but you owe them. But we try to pay them less. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. But shall fear thy Elohim. I am Yah. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. In other words, Yah is saying, don't be a respecter of persons. Don't judge somebody because they're poor more harshly than you would judge somebody that is rich, and vice versa. Because this man is poor, you're going to give him the full extent of the law, carry it out on him. Because this man is rich, you're going to be lenient with him because he might be able to do something for you. God says, don't do it. Don't be a respecter of person, and don't, you know, treat the poor man different than you treat the rich, or the rich different than you treat the poor. Let's continue. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yah thy Elohim. To go up and down as a talebearer, somebody that tells stories. Let's look up this word talebearer for sure definition of it. Talebearer. That is the word Raquel, scandal monger, as traveling about, slander,
carrying tale bearer was what I thought it was. Going around telling stories. You know, you have people that they are good orators, they are good storytellers, and a lot of times they will make up things, and they used to go around telling stories and making up things and causing people to believe lies. Yah said, we shall not do this. We shall not be tale bearers. Yah shall go around telling stories to people, you know, to entertain them. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yah. So if the blood of thy neighbor is to either stand for them when they have done something wickedly or stand against them when they have done something innocently. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So let's read this one again slower. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. And the explanation of that is thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So if you know that your neighbor is doing something wrong, you're supposed to rebuke them in it. He says, you shall in any wise, in any way. You don't say you shall not, but you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. You don't want, you know, if you see them doing something that's going to lead to sin, you want to tell them about it. You don't want to do that because it leads to sin. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yah, your Elohim. So thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. So we're not supposed to be hating our children or the children of our neighbors, of our people. But we're supposed to be loving them, which means that we chastise them when they're in the wrong. We reward them when they do good. We encourage them to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. If they're in need, we take care of them. Verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with diverse kinds. In other words, don't be taking this type of cow and mixing it with that type of cow, which is what they do all the time today. That's why they got all these different versions of cows that they have intermingled, that they have changed their genetics. He says, you shall not do it. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with diverse kinds. That means to come together. You know, you got this type of cow from this region and this type of cow from this region, and you see some good in both, and you want to, well, maybe if I let them breed together, I'll get one that has the best of both. The Most High said, don't do it. Thou shalt not sow thy seed, thy field, with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolen come upon thee. So the Most High doesn't like really the mixing of anything. He likes pure, you know, pureness, the things that he created in their pureness. I created this cow this way. I want it to stay this way. I created this seed to produce this. I want it to stay that way because they do gene splicing on seed. The wheat that we eat today is not the wheat that they created. I mean, it's not the wheat that was grown 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago. They have genetically modified it, trying to make it more hefty, trying to make it more drop, trying to make it produce more grain. But it doesn't grow the same, and they know it. And it's not the same. So, you know, we're eating wheat bread and all this kind of stuff, but the truth of the matter is you're eating GMOs, genetically modified organisms, that the Most High says we shouldn't do this. So he says, neither shall a garment mingle of linen, which is made of one type of thread or fiber, and woolen, which comes from the animal, come upon thee. So you can't have a garment that's half this and half that. Oh, this is half linen and half wool. The Most High said, don't do it. And whosoever lies carnally with a woman, that is a bondmaid,
betrothed to her husband. Okay, she is engaged. Say this man and this woman have not come together. This is a bondmaiden, so she's a servant. But she's been betrothed to her husband. She's been promised to a man. And not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her. She shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. So this has some other implications all within itself. And this is where some people are going to be bothered. This is a servant. She's betrothed. In the Most High's eyes, she's married to this man that she's betrothed to, but she's not a free woman. And somebody sleeps with her because she's not free. He says that she's supposed to be scourged. She's supposed to be whipped and not killed. Now, again, I know some people will have some problems with this. But the truth of the matter is, it is the word of the Most High. So let's read this again. Verse 20. Whosoever lies carnally with a woman that is a bondmaiden, she is not free. Betrothed to a husband, she's married. She is betrothed. She is engaged. In our society, this is engaged, but in the eyes of the Most High, she is married. And not at all redeemed. She hasn't been redeemed, nor freedom given her. Nobody came and paid the price to take her out of this bondage. The man she's betrothed to hasn't paid a price to get her out, to redeem her out of this bondage. She's not free. Freedom wasn't given her. Whoever owned her didn't say, okay, I'm going to let you go free, that you can be married to this man, and yada, yada, yada. She's still a bond servant. She's still a slave. She shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death. He says they. He didn't say they shall be scourged. He says she shall be scourged. They, her and the man, shall not be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offerings unto Yah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass. Many people may not agree with this judgment, but it is the word of Yah. She is a bond servant. She is not free. She has not been redeemed. This man sleeps with her. That she was to be beaten, and neither of them were to be killed. So there's something different that we have to look at in the relationships of the slave and the free person. I have to look at it and examine it, because the Most High says she was to be scourged, and neither of them were to be killed. Now, it doesn't say whether she was that, you know, it appears like she was at fault in this thing, and she's being scourged. But it doesn't say that. But you would wonder, why is she being scourged? And he has to go and bring an offering for sin. So just something for us to dwell on, to go before the Most High in, to ask to be revealed why. The judgment, you know, not to question the Most High, but to ask for his rationale in it that we might understand. And we may not ever understand, but we have to accept the judgment. That is the whole thing. So in our eyes, we might say, you know, we feel like there's something wrong with that. But the Most High said this is his judgment in this matter. And so I know a lot of women will read this and say, well, a man wrote that. It had to be a man that wrote that. I know of one such, but the truth of the matter is, this is what's in the word. Okay. So verse 21. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram of trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before Yah for his sin which he has done. And the sin which he has done shall be forgiven. And when you shall come into the land and shall have planted all the manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten. So this is another of those judgments. 3 years, the first 3 years that you come into the promised land, whatever you plant shall be uncircumcised to you, unclean to you. You can't eat it. It is not until the fourth year that you can eat from your labors. And so you then have to count on the Most High to do what? You're planting food to eat. You're planting food to trade with. You're planting food to make a living by. And the Most High says the first 3 years, you're not going to do nothing with it. You're going to plow it under. Okay? So that means that you got to be counting on the Most High to take care of you, to provide for you. But in the fourth year, verse 24, but in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all. So that means that you couldn't bring this as, you couldn't use this food in any type of offering, in the meal offering, in the free will offering, in any kind of offering. It was not acceptable to Yah until the fourth year. And in the fifth year, you shall eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am Yah your Elohim. You shall not eat anything with blood. But I want to go back here for a minute, because you're planting a field. You need to eat from this field. And the Most High says the first 3 years, you're not going to eat from it. It is uncircumcised to you, and you can't use it in anything holy. Fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all, to praise Yah with all of it. You can't eat of it until the fifth year. And in the fifth year, you shall eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am Yah, your Elohim. Now, what that tells me is whatever we are going to do to prepare for the last day, we need to be very busy and about our Father's business, because the first 4 years of whatever we plant, we can't eat. And we can't bring it before Yah and lift it to him. In the fourth year, we can lift it to him. In the fifth year, we can start eating it. The fifth year's harvest. So we have to be prepared to survive for that long. Because whatever we put into the ground the first year, that comes up, we plow it back under. Second year, we plow it back under. Third year, we plow it back under. Fourth year, we lift it to the Most High, and we plow it back under. We can't eat it. We thank the Most High for it, for his manifold blessings. And then in the fifth year of the harvest, we are able to eat from that harvest. So we have to get very busy very quickly. And we have to be able to sustain ourselves through dry goods or whatever for 4 years. And in the fifth year, Yah says he will bless the harvest and make it plentiful. So let us hear what the Most High says. We want to be in obedience to him. You know, we'd be planting stuff and, you know, planted a harvest. Last year, we didn't eat of it. But, you know, it was kind of strange how we didn't eat of it. Tomatoes and stuff looked good. The squash looked good. We picked them, but we never ate them. And now I know why the Most High didn't, you know, put it in my heart. Yeah, we need to go and partake in this. So everything that fell to the ground, that was rotted on the ground, that you know, all that stuff has to go back into the ground. Okay.
You shall not eat anything with blood. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe time. Enchantment is the dark arts, calling on wicked spirits, evil spirits to act on our behalf, nor observe time. That's when you are looking at the stars in a way not to be an observer of just the planets, but to say that they have rule over your life, that wherever they're at in the sky is favorable to some person somewhere because this star or this the moon or the sun is in this particular brain dump there, but astrological sign, what do they call it, the zodiac, okay, a constellation. We're not to do that. Doesn't say that we can't look up at the sky, but we're not to be observers of it to try to predict our future, to try to predict what's going on. Okay. You shall not round the corners of your head, neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. How many people we got that got tattoos? Some of them got tattoos because of, you know, a child died. Some of them got tattoos because they want to represent with something. But he says, don't put any markings on you. Don't print any markings on you. But we got our people are into these tattoos like crazy. And don't know that whatever they print on their body, that's what they subscribe to and that's what they belong to. They can say they believe in something else, but the Most High said, don't print the marks on your body. So let's read this again, because we've got a lot of people who want to print marks on their body. Verse 28 again, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print marks upon you. I am Yah. Do not prostitute your daughter. Cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Now, so when, let's go back and let's discuss this. When a man or a family sold their daughter into bondage, it was not to whore her out. It was for her labor for that family, whether it was cooking or cleaning or what have you. The man in that house or his son did anything to that girl, they were supposed to take her as a wife. And then if they say, oh, I took her as a wife and she was a bondmaiden, and she was to be free at that time, and he dealt deceitfully with her, he slept with her, made her his wife, and then he said she didn't please him, then the Most High said she was to go out free. Wasn't supposed to cost any money to redeem her because you have dealt deceitfully with her. That didn't mean she wasn't to go out with no money that you just throw out on the street, putting her in a situation where she might have to prostitute herself to make a living. So he says, no. When it says that she shall go out with no money, it wasn't that she was to go out and you weren't to give her any money to sustain her, to help her to get back to her family or whatever. It wasn't to be any money to redeem her, because she, just like the bond servant that somebody came and slept with, she was betrothed, but she hadn't been redeemed. She hadn't been freed. He says, in this case, you married her, and you are to let her go without money, meaning it should not cost her. You don't have to be redeemed. And that's not to say that he shouldn't give her anything to help her make her way. But she don't have to pay no money to be free. She's free, and it don't cost her anything to become free. You have dealt with her deceitfully. She's supposed to be your wife forever. Now you're saying that she don't please you, and you want to find a reason that you can get rid of her or that you can have her killed. And the Most High says she came into this relationship. She didn't have a choice. She was a bond servant. She was a slave. And you imposed yourself upon her.
And maybe she thought you loved her. Maybe you thought you loved her. But now you're saying you find some uncleanliness in her? She didn't have a choice in the matter. So you're going to let her go for nothing. She is free. And she don't need to be redeemed. Because a long time when I read that scripture, I thought he was talking about, you're just going to throw her out on the streets with no money. It's not what he's saying. The scriptures require that she be redeemed by somebody in her family to get her freedom. Or the master could have just set her free. But he said, because you have dealt deceitfully with her and she was a bondservant. And she wasn't supposed to be prostituted. She wasn't supposed to be whored out. She wasn't even supposed to become sleep with you. But you have done this thing, and then you said that she's your wife. And because you have been deceitful with her, then now she gets to go out, and she don't need to be redeemed. And I don't believe the Most High saying she shall go out. You don't give her anything. You just throw her out on the street. Not what he's saying. And I know a lot of people would read it that way. But he's really saying, when he says she's to go out without money, he's saying she's to go out and she's not to have to pay the redemption price. She don't have to be redeemed. And you can't just put her on the street. Can't sell her to another nation because you don't want her anymore. So this position of slavery, this position of bondage, it does relegate one to a different status. But the Most High is saying, even in this different status as being a bondservant, that you can't deal deceitfully with them. And then if you have a daughter, even a son, and you have gotten yourself into trouble, and you're going to sell your son or your daughter to be a bondservant, now the rule for a male bondservant at the end of 6 years, he was to be let go. But the Most High said the bond maiden was not so. She was not to go out after 6 years. So in this case, if the man dealt deceitfully with her, took her to be a wife, he slept with her, then if he finds some reason that she's not pleasing to him, then the scripture says he was to let her go. She didn't have to be redeemed. She paid her price. You slept with her. You've been deceitful. So for her virginity, let her go. Just like if you harmed a servant, you beat a servant and you knocked their eye out, or you knocked their tooth out, or you cut off a finger. Most I said they were supposed to be let go because of their eye, because of their tooth, because of their finger. The same way, I'm seeing it now as he's saying it, the same way with this woman and her virginity. You took her and you slept with her, and now you're saying that she's not fit, she don't please you, then she's to go out, she's redeemed, you're to let her go because of her virginity. You took that from her. You have harmed her. You've been deceitful. So she was to be let go free. And that's not don't mean that, you know, you don't give her money to make it, to buy a final place to live. Hopefully she has learned a craft while living in your home that she can, you know, make rugs or make whatever type of clothing, or she's, you know, good with her hands in some type of craft, and she can make a living for herself. And then if she finds a man that accepts her and marries her and accepts that she's not a virgin and not going to try to go back to her family, I can't find the proof of your daughter's virginity, because she's been honest with him and she's told him what happened and he still accepted her, then there'd still be his one. It's when we, you know, try to deceive, we try to do wickedness, that the Most High doesn't look favorably upon it. Okay. She's not playing the whore. She's not running around sleeping with men. She herself in this relationship was sold into this relationship. The man that bought her, the family that bought her, maybe it was a man, maybe it was his son, did something, and now she's to be, if it was his son, then she was to be treated like a daughter. then where's your bride price for this one, for her? You going to take her to be your wife? Okay. Now he has to start looking at her as a daughter and having his son to treat her like a daughter and not the bond maiden, this free girl. So, yeah, I see what the Most High is saying here, and I see where men will use this to corrupt the scriptures to try to get out of a relationship that they put themselves in and want to come out of it with not having to do anything, not owing anything. And so they'll read those scriptures that way. But the truth of the matter is, if you are caring about your brother or your sister, and this is your brother or this is your sister, and you have dealt deceitfully with them, then you should do that which is right by them. So you came to me with nothing. You've labored for me. If I'm going to let you go, I'm going to send you on your way with something. That would be the righteous thing to do. Not just throw her on the street, force her into prostitution, because even when the father sold her into bondage, he says, let's go back and read this, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. But, you know, we know what men do. We know what people do. So the family got into debt. I got this daughter. Here, take her. Or daughter, go sleep with this man for this debt. Daughter, go do this. Daughter, go do that. Now, anybody that could do that to their own child, I mean, I can't see it. But I know that there are people out there that will do it, mothers included. You know, they're strung out on drugs. They got this child. They know the wickedness of men. They need this fixed. Oh, you don't want to be with me? Be with my daughter. I know people who have done that. Be with my daughter. And a person who will actually do it, knowing that this is a child. Maybe she's just of age. And they do it. And so this wickedness is in the world, and it's around the world. And, you know, the Most High doesn't have this written in here for no reason, even in the society that we're in. I know some people who have sold their daughters to men for drugs. Their daughters. And sometimes these are children. Really children, children. What I'm saying, she's not 12, 13, 14 years old. She hadn't started developing yet. And they still sell them. And then we wonder, you know, the child is suffering through all these things and into their adulthood, and now they got the same moral. It was done to me. They learn to use their body for as a power to get what they want. You know, so I can't pay the rent this month. If I can manipulate the manager to, you know, sleep with me for the rent. I mean, this stuff still goes on today. So the Most High says, you're not to sell your daughter into whoredom as a prostitute. You know, I personally, you know, my personal place and position on this thing, I can't see how any father could sell his daughter under any cost. I would rather the harm come to me than to come to my child. Do what you're going to do. Don't touch my child. If I got myself into this situation, don't take it out on my child. I'm not going to use my child as a payment, not even my wife, as a payment. Here, take my wife, have her for a day or two. Pay this debt off. And I've seen people who do that type of stuff. And I'm like, I can't see how you could. How much do you really love that person? How much do you really love that person? I've had uncles who got into trouble and expected their wives. There wasn't the money to get them out of jail. They expected their wives to go prostitute themselves to get them out of jail. I know I could never ask my wife to do anything like that. If I'm out here doing wickedness and doing stupid stuff that will get me in trouble with the law, and then I get caught, and I was stupid enough, I didn't even put money aside for bail. I'm just doing stuff and stealing with no plan, just living fast. What kind of craziness in that? And then I'm married to you, so you've been the benefit of my thefts or whatever I'm doing. I want you to get me out of jail. So, well, we ain't got the money. Go prostitute yourself. I could never ask my wife to do that. I would never expect her to do that. Even if she was, if I chose that life and she was doing that. You know what? I'm the one that said I'm the head of the house. I chose to steal or do whatever. Expect you to go and prostitute yourself to get me out of jail? I got caught. I paid a price. Now, how are you going to eat and how are you going to pay the rent and all that stuff? And now you're kind of on your own. Because if we didn't take care of it and save for it so that you didn't have to do anything, then you might end up prostituting yourself if you don't have no other skill. But we when we live ungodly and unholy lives, we do things that we cause others to sin because of our actions. So in this case, the Most High says, don't take your daughter, because apparently this had to be something that was done in the nation, that they would sell their daughter into prostitution. Now, I know in, like, India, Thailand, even China and some of those far eastern countries, they still do that today. You get into debt, you got a daughter, you know, they might put the whole family in jail. Or they might say, oh, well, wait a minute, that your daughter can work this off, and she goes into a house of ill repute. And however long it takes, you know, every system like that is not designed to allow them to actually work it off anytime soon. And, you know, they are there. They got to pay rent. They got to pay for their food. All this stuff, just like the prison system. And in their case, they are made to prostitute. And they only get a little bit of the money that they make to go toward their, you know, to go toward their debt. And it may not even be their debt, the debt of their family. You know, that's a horrible life to live. So the Most High says, don't do it. Because what it really does is cause the land to become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yah. Now, the Most High says, build me a sanctuary that I might come in and live and dwell with you. But then you don't reverence the sanctuary. You don't hold it holy. You start worshiping other things in it. This is what our forefathers did. They didn't reverence his sanctuary. They started worshiping everything, the stars, the moon, and the sun, creeping things, drawing pictures of them on the walls of the Most High sanctuary inside, and worshiping them, worshiping the sun in his sanctuary. And the reason that we find ourselves scattered today with no temple. Most likely, I don't even want that anymore. I'm going to have it torn to the ground, flat, because of what our forefathers did in it. Most likely, it's not even redeemable. I can't scrub it out. I need to have this torn down completely. And he knew we would never do it, so he says, okay, I'm just going to cause another nation to come in and do it. They're going to tear it to the ground. So we have to understand that they didn't reverence his sanctuary. Let's continue. You shall keep my Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, and all of his Sabbaths, all of his holy days. We are supposed to keep, even the new moon. We're supposed to keep. We're commanded to keep it. So, you know, when I find the brothers and the sisters, you say the new moon, and they're looking at me like I'm stupid. They're looking at me like we ain't never heard of that. Or they're looking at me, why are we doing that? Why would you do that? I said, because just like you told to keep Passover, you're told to keep Pentecost, you're told to keep the Feast of the First Fruits, you're told to keep trumpets, you're told to keep tabernacles, you're told to keep the Day of Atonement. When you come over here, most I ask this, the new moon, and says that it's equal to the weekly Sabbath. But somehow, because it's not mentioned in Leviticus chapter whatever or Deuteronomy chapter whatever, when he first gave the feast days, then those are the only ones we want to keep. If the Most High added to it, somehow we can't see that. But he says to keep his new moons. And you look at the kings and the priests and the prophets, they were keeping his new moon. It was ordained to do it. People of the book, but today, somehow we can't, you know, it. I know where what the spirit behind that is. It's too much. It's too much. He want me to keep this week. He want me to keep that week. And he want me to keep this day. And I can't get off. And all this other stuff. People think it's too much. That's that spirit behind it, even though they won't say it. That's what that spirit is behind it. And so the bottom line is, he says, keep all of his Sabbath. Read this again. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. All of them. So when brothers and sisters want to argue about it, I say, hey, do what Yah convicts you of. Do what he has convicted you of. I'm going to do what he's convicted me of. If I read it in this word, I didn't add it into the word. If I can read where it was being kept and somehow we're just not doing it today, then the Most High showed me that for a reason. Wasn't just showing me just to show me, oh, yeah, they should keep the new moon, but you don't have to do it today. He never said that. Never says it in anything. He says, matter of fact, he said, let not anybody judge you of the new moon and the Sabbath days. Why would they judge you? If I'm going to judge somebody for not keeping for the Sabbath, the Most High Sabbath is going to be for not keeping it. I'm not going to judge them for keeping it. I would judge them for not keeping it. But he also wants us to keep them with a reverence for him, to keep them in the proper intention of them. Because if we don't, then he says, I hate your new moons and your new moons and your Sabbath, but you're not doing them because of why I said to do them. You have come up and made up your own reason to do them. And you're not doing them for the way that I said to do them. So then they're not about him, they're about us. He says, no, I don't want them either. All right. 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Remember I told you familiar spirits are spirits that run in the family. They're usually a family member that don't want to stay asleep. And they want to come into the family through a family member. Neither seek after wisdom. Those are male witches. To be defiled by them. I am Yah, your Elohim. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. The hoary head is him that is gray-headed. And honor the face of the old man. Fear thy Elohim, I am Yah. My saying, hey, we are to honor those that are the elders among us who are, you know, have lived a life and they are seeking to be righteous and honorable before him. Honor them. Stand up when they come in your presence. Show respect. If you walk into the presence of most young people today, they stand. They just look up at you like, nothing. Don't even honor your years. The Most High said that we are to honor them. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Rise up. Stand up before those that are gray in your, you know, in years, and honor the faith of the old man. Fear thy Elohim, and fear thy Elohim. So if we fear Elohim, then we should show respect to the hoary head, the one that's gray-headed among us, that is of age. Honor them. They've been through some stuff. They've seen some stuff. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. Because he's a stranger in your land, you were a stranger in a land, you know how they treated you. Don't treat them how they treated you. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Thou shalt love him as thyself. If the stranger comes and says, I want to live among you, I want to live by the way that you live, I want to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Teach me. Show me how to honor him. Show me how to fear him and why. And I want to live among you and live the way that you live. He said that you shall treat them as one in the land, as being homeborn. You shall love them. But we got people, you know, if they're a Gentile, then we want to speak hate to them because of what their forefathers did to us. But the Most High says, if they love me, and you can see that they love me, that they're seeking me, you're to accept them as being homeborn. Now, they never did that to us, but we can't be like them. That's our problem. We've always wanted to be like them, and even in these ways. Oh, no, you're a Gentile. Your forefathers treated us this way. Then I'm going to treat you the way that they treated us. The Most High said, don't do it. Don't be that way with them. Okay? It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And why do we do that? Because of the way we were treated when we were strangers. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. You shall not do unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, or in measure. In other words, whatever is the established weight, whatever is the established length, whatever is the established height, whatever measurements are acceptable, that these are the standard measures, you don't deviate from that to try to cheat somebody. So if you're supposed to give them a pound and you have set it at 3/4 of a pound and telling them that it's a pound, he says, don't do that. Just balances, just weight, and a just ephah, and with a just hind shall you have. I am Yah your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments to do them. I am Yah, your Elohim. So we're not to be unjust with people. We're not to treat people in an unjust way. We're not to cheat people. If it was a bondmaid and she was not at all free, and somebody sleep with her, the Most High said they have sinned and they have fornicated, but she don't have a choice in the matter. He says, scourge her, and the man who did it is supposed to bring a sin offering. Again, you may not agree with that, but this is the judgment of the Most High. He has his reasons for it, and I don't say, you know, I say, hey, if you can't accept it, go before him and ask him to show it to you. Said, ask. You seek wisdom, ask. Why is your judgment this way in this situation? Okay? And he says, don't do as the nations do. Don't have unjust weights. Don't be sleeping with animals. Don't be sleeping with anybody that I've told you not to sleep with. These are my judgments and my statutes. So we have to bring these things forward. Let's continue. We're at 30 past the hour. Let us go into Leviticus chapter 37. Leviticus chapter 37. Leviticus chapter 20. My bad. Leviticus chapter 20. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stone. So to give your seed to Molech is either to have some type of sexual act that you do this, or you actually take your actual child and do it. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. I belong to the Most High Elohim. I'm a member of the nation of Israel. And here I am having sex with the priest or the priestess of Molech. Most likely you're supposed to be killed. Take your child and pass him through the fire of Molech. That is your seed. You're supposed to be killed. You have profaned the sanctuary, and you have profaned his name, defiled the sanctuary, and profaned his name. If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, you know he did this. You're going to act like you blind to it. Then I will set my face against that man that knows it. This is what he's talking about. And against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. So you know that this person did this. You're going to pretend like you don't know. The Most High says, I'm going to come against you and your family and cut you off. So it's not just you. Because in the same right that you're hiding it, you're going a-whoring after that guy because you are allowing it. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and cut him off from among his people. So as I said, if you go after these people, then to be cut off again is to be killed. But you're not allowed to take part in any, if you're not killed, you're not allowed to take part in any of the holy things that are Most High. You're not allowed to take part in the blessings. You're not allowed to take part in having your sins forgiven. You don't come up under this system. And typically, it meant surely to be put to death. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Yadai Elohim. When we say that, you know, we're all fragile, we all make mistakes, the Most High knows what mistakes we make that are willful mistakes, and he knows what mistakes we make in ignorance. But he says, in these things, you are to be holy. You don't give yourself over to these other gods. You know somebody that's worshiping another god? You don't tolerate it with them. We are, you know, hey, you worship what you want to worship. But you say that you belong to the Most High Elohim, and here you are worshiping something else. And we tolerate it, we're not to tolerate it. When somebody brings in, they might be doing it through ignorance. And they start talking about, you know, another deity. And maybe they don't know it's a deity. Maybe they don't understand what they're doing. So you admonish them, don't do it. Then they get angry at you for admonishing them. Don't want to, you know, don't want to listen no more. Because you said, hey, don't be worshiping this other deity, even though you don't, maybe you didn't think of it as a deity. But it is. It's one that people have made up. And even if you haven't made it up in your own mind that this is a deity, you are associating with it and by it through your words. He says, you shall not have the names of these other deities in your mouth. So it doesn't matter if you call it Mother Nature or Mother Earth. the deity name for that same Mother Nature or Mother Earth that you're worshiping that has a name. And you're probably looking at it on TV saying, oh, look at how they are polluting the earth and how they are destroying the earth. And then they say Gaia. And that's the name that they have given this deity, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. And they worship her as a goddess. And so we want to take on those terms and not understand that we are bringing in the worship of another deity. We're just trying to eat healthy. We're just trying to do this. We're just trying to know. That's how the enemy works. And it's my job to not allow it, to bring you to understanding. And if you refuse the knowledge, then you refuse being sanctified. You refuse being holy, and you are choosing to worship another god or goddess, whether you want to believe it or not. So I just say that if you say it around me, I'm going to come against it every time. Because we're not allowed to do that. And no matter whether, you know, whether we were doing it in ignorance, but once you are told, you want to say, well, that's not what I'm doing. Well, nobody really believed that they were worshiping an Easter bunny on Easter or worshiping the goddess Esther on Easter. But they were doing it by association, doing it by following the ritual. Let me go get me a new dress. You go get you a new Easter suit. That's what the ritual was. The only thing that we weren't doing, that they were doing, is having sex on the altar. That was part of their ritual. Remember, they have sex with the priest and the priestess of these religions. So we weren't doing that. At least I didn't ever do that. And so I never looked at myself as worshiping those deities, but I was doing everything except for that they did to those deities. Go get the Easter suit. You get your new Easter dress. You go get the Easter basket with the eggs in it and all that type of stuff. We cannot deify anything. We cannot make the earth itself a god, because the food comes up out of the ground and everything from the earth is good. It's supposed to be. The Most High made it that way. He never told us to worship the earth. Whatever the earth brings forth, he says, you were to give him credit for it. He causes the earth to bring forward or to not bring forward. And so when we start looking at the earth, because we need to identify, it's just like, let me put it this way. When we start looking at things because we need to justify our existence, maybe we feel some kind of way that, you know, we don't get any glory, we don't get any honor, we don't get any recognition. And so as a Hebrew people, we start trying to include all these other peoples that the Most High never said that these people, that these people were descendants of the 12 tribes. But because we want people to accept us, we start saying and telling people we got to include all these people. And, you know, I simply say, hey, common sense tells you that you cannot get 12 different races or ethnicities of people from three people, from three groups of people. If two of them are Hebrews and one wasn't, then you, at the most you can get two. A mixed breed from the ones that weren't Hebrew mixing with the ones that were Hebrew, vice versa. So when we try to get these 12 tribes, I'm like, you know, genetically speaking and by the blood, can't happen. Not like that. So we got all these different people supposed to be the 12 tribes. So I'm like, how did we get there? Because
The truth is in the blood. But at the same time, because we want the acceptance, then we come up with this doctrine that, you know, well, surely we can't be the only people of the book. And there's other people in the world going through similar things. But because you're going through similar things don't mean that you are that because you're going through it. So we start making up stuff. And when we take nature and take the earth and we start to deify it, we start to elevate it, we start to adore it, then we have lifted the earth to a position that the Most High never intended for the earth to be lifted to. Because we're to respect the earth and we're to take care of it. And we're to not to abuse the systems that he's put into place. But we're not to worship it. He is the only thing that we worship. He is the only person, the only anything that we worship is him. And so we can't be doing those things. So people get upset about that. You know, I know that reading these statutes, these laws, these commandments, there's some things that we got to be learning that we're doing that are not acceptable, that we may not have known of. Like, hey, I had read the scripture, and maybe at one time I knew this, forgot it or whatever, but, you know, we're not allowed to have dogs and cats and things like that for pets. We read that in the scripture. We are his people. We're not allowed to do it. And I know some of us have dogs or cats and stuff for pets. But we're not allowed to. So I had a dog for 12, 13, 14 years. Had dogs as a pet when I was a kid. Had dogs when, you know, I was in my mid-20s. Had my own place. Had my dog. Okay? Guilty. But, you know, when the last dog, we put him down, he had been with the family since one of my kids was a child, I mean like an infant, close to it. He lived a long time. And then when we put him down, you know, the family was there to put him down. And we cried because we loved this dog. But then reading the scriptures, we were just as out of order as we could be. And I had thought even before this time of getting another one. But I won't get one now. Because I know we're not supposed to have them. And I know people that love their animals like they love a human being. I've never been that way. Not to say that I didn't love the animal for the animal's sake, but I didn't, you know, I didn't treat them or keep or look at them as being like a child. Or, you know, a person. But we got people who do love them that way. And to have to put them away, it's going to be hard for them to do it. Already know it. But they have to deal with that. That's between them and Yah. They have to make the decision. Are they going to stay in breach of the contract? Are they going to love the animal more than they love their relationship with the Most High? That's just a fact. So, you know, each of us has those things to deal with. I can't say that I wasn't ever in breach of that because I was. Not in breach of it today, but I have been in the past. Okay? So the scripture says, once you know, he that knows to do a good and doesn't do it, it is sin to him. When we find out that we're not supposed to have pets like that and we continue to do it, it is sin to us. We have to deal with that. All right. Where were we at? Verse 7 again. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am Yah, Yah thy Elohim, and you shall keep my statutes
and do them. I am Yah, which sanctifies you, will set you apart. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. You know, as I said, you know, I have to be open and honest. I have a son, and he called himself, you know, trying to get up in his father's face because he felt like he's being a man. And I said, you don't know who you're dealing with. And so I showed him this verse in the scripture because I told him something, and I knew it upset him when I said it, but I meant it. And so I showed him this scripture that said, hey, he that curses his father or his mother or strikes his father or his mother is to be put to death. I said, that's not me saying that. Now, I know my son believes in the Most High. He thinks he actually has a special relationship with him. I said, so here's what the Most High Elohim says. He had to read it two or three times, but I saw a change come over him. I saw it in him. Oh, well, wait a minute. I better step back and check myself. Because what was in my heart to do, and you know, you can look at your child's eyes, and you know you can read them. And I know my son was trying to put himself in a position where he could challenge. But there's some things that because of how I've raised him that he don't know about me. And that, son, you're my son, but you go to a certain place, then I'm going to go there. And this is something that you have never seen and you don't want to see it. I think I've actually really took my son to battle behind his sister. Because he was going to hit his sister, and he's a grown man, and she's grown. And she was saying something to him that he didn't want to hear. And I had heard, you know, they had told me, oh, he had punched her in the stomach before. And something in my spirit was telling me that he's about to make that move, jumped up out of the bed, and used my man strength on him. Something he had never felt. But I didn't use it to try to hurt him. I used it to restrain him. But to let him know, you know, I'm older than you, but don't think that I'm weak. And don't think that I'm going to let you do what was in your heart to do. Now, that wasn't coming at me. But then now you have this spirit on you that you think you can come at me. This is where this is headed. So I want you to know, don't challenge me like that. Don't put it in your heart to do it because it's not me that's telling you that you should be dead. It's the Most High that's telling you this. And I will not accept it, that behavior. So, he read it, had to read it again, but I saw the change come in him. I said, so now you make this move, then you know whatever happens, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I'm not going to go to court and say the Most High told me to kill him because it would only happen if he challenged me and looked to threaten me, his father, when I would never threaten him as my son, not in that like that. We have to understand that we have to be willing to live by the judgments of the Most High. Can't read him and say, oh, well, if this comes up, I'm going to judge a different way. No, I'm not going to judge a different way. I'm going to go by his judgments. And then if I have to deal with mankind behind it, then the Most High will give me my defense. Hey, my son threatened me. I fear for my life. But the bottom line is, do I ever want to do that to him? No. It's not in my heart to do that to him. It's not in my heart to treat him that way or to even think about him in that way. You are my son. You are my daughter. My job is to protect you. My job is to provide. My job is to lead and to guide you. You're my blood. Why would I ever want to think about taking your life? Unless you put yourself in this situation, then you're leaving me no choice. So we have to be honest about these things. So not that, you know, if we're doing things to disrespect our children, if we are, the scripture says, do not, you know, don't treat your children to bring them to anger. My son says, well, you disrespect. I said, well, son, tell me, when have I ever disrespected you? If you take me addressing you as my son and I your father and telling you that I don't agree with some of your actions as disrespect, then you are woefully wrong. It's my job to tell you when you are out of order, when I think you are out of order. I give you leeway to have your own thoughts, give you leeway to make your own decisions for your life. But if I see you going down a road that I clearly see is, I believe, and you know that I don't try to, and I don't try to force my will upon you. Not as a grown up. Now as a child, that's different. But as a grown up, I'll ask you, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What do you hope to accomplish? If it ain't illegal, you got my blessings in it. Try to make your life. Try to make it honest. Put all that you are into it. Try to be successful. If I see you doing something that is questionable, that seems to be immoral, then it's my job to tell you that what you're doing is questionable and it's immoral. And if you don't want to hear that, then what you really don't want is me to know your business, which means that you really don't want to be living in my house. So that way you can be grown and do what you're going to do, and I don't know the difference. I only know what you tell me. I only know what I see. But even if I hear it, and you're not living in my house, and it comes to my attention, then I'm going to speak to you about it. Are you doing this? If so, you need to stop because it's immoral, it's sinful, and you shouldn't be doing it. And if you think that's disrespecting you, then stand to be disrespected because that's my duty as your father. And I don't come at you like you're doing this. I'm asking you, are you doing this? This is what I've been told. Is it true? Yes or no? That's not an accusation. That is asking you, have you been doing that? And if you're a man, if you've been doing it, you ought to be man enough to say, yes, I've been doing it. Then I'm going to tell you what I think about it and how you ought not to be doing it, but for these reasons, because I didn't raise you to be immoral. I didn't raise you to have no morality and to just do things to people or do things to gain, and it's dishonest. Didn't raise you that way. My job is, if I hear about that, is to tell you. And you should respect that if I say something to you about it and you know that it's true, that you should stop, that you should examine yourself. Anyway, we are coming to the top of the hour. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for giving us your statute, your commandments, and your law. We thank you for opening our eyes to things that you say are wrong, that the world may not necessarily say is wrong. But you say it's wrong, and we say that we are your people, so we have to follow your way. We have to follow your ordinances. We have to follow your statutes and your commandments. It doesn't matter what the world says concerning these things. It doesn't matter what we personally think concerning these things. We have to obey you. You say, if you will obey my voice, we have to obey you. So when we read something and it doesn't set well with our own spirit, we are to bring ourselves in line with your word and with you. Father, and we do these things because we love you and we want to be your people. We want to be in relationship with you. We want to be in covenant relationship with you. If we do not agree to these things, then we should not be in relationship with you, and we should not say that you are our God. We will accept this about you, but we don't accept that about you. Then you are not our God. If we want to pick and choose which part of you we want to love and we want to obey, and then we don't want to obey these things because we don't agree with them. Father, we believe and we agree with you in all things, in your statutes, your judgments, and your commandments, as you have stated them, as you have had them written, Father, we believe them. And we do and obey them. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us, for tomorrow morning, for spiritual wellness, I'm not going to do the spiritual wellness class in the morning. I have some things that I need to accomplish here and to run around and take care of here. So we're not going to do that in the morning. We will meet for Monday evening, the 5th of September, which brings us into the 6th, the new moon, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Hold on a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry. The 6th. Yeah. The 6th. Monday, that evening. No, the new moon is the 6th. I'm sorry. Tomorrow evening, then, because that's the 5th, starts the 6th. Got these days mixed up. Tomorrow evening, we will meet for the new moon and the Feast of Tabernacles tomorrow evening, the 5th to the 6th. Yeah, that's the start of the 6th, the evening of the 5th. So tomorrow evening, we will have the new moon. We won't have the spiritual wellness tomorrow morning, but tomorrow evening, we will have the new moon and the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, the Feast of Trumpets, tomorrow evening, starting at 6 p.m. I pray that everybody be prepared for a longer service, because it is the new moon and the Feast of Trumpets that we are in observance of. So that will be tomorrow evening, starting at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That makes that, where I'm at, 8 p.m. Where I'm at, being in the East, and I have to make sure that I remember that. Being on the East Coast, 1 hour ahead of you all, where I'm usually 2 hours behind you all. But we will start that at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, the new moon service, and the Feast of Trumpets on tomorrow evening. Tomorrow morning, we will not do spiritual wellness. Need to go out and get the stuff that I need for the Feast of Trumpets and the new moon, being here in Myrtle Beach. And then on the 15th of the month, we have, let me make sure of this, the 15th of the month, we have the Feast of, the Day of Atonement, the 15th of this month, the Feast, the Day of Atonement, the day that nobody should work on. For sure. It's one day that you take off. We should take off for all the high holy days, but the Day of Atonement is especially one that we need to make sure that we are in attendance, that we don't work in that day. And then on the 20th of the month, through the 27th or 28th, we have the Feast of Tabernacles. So it really starts on the 21st, but the night of the 20th, the beginning of the 21st day, we do the Feast of Tabernacles. So we need to be prepared for those days. The 15th, the Day of Atonement, the 5th of the month, which takes us into the 6th, is the Feast of Trumpets. That's will be tomorrow night. The evening of the 5th takes us into the 6th, the first day, and we do the Feast of Trumpets and the New Moon. So I pray that everybody is able to attend, will attend, that you get your grape juice or your wine, your unleavened bread, and that you are ready to celebrate and to listen to the lesson of the Feast of Trumpets, that we hallow and bring in the new moon, and that we spend a glorious time with the Most High Elohim on tomorrow night. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you, and I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.